Good evening. This is the Voice of America in Washington. Welcome to another edition of Reporters Roundtable. I'm Douglas Impuga. This evening, we will talk about Africa-China relations. And with us tonight is my colleague, Vincent Macquarie, Managing Editor, TV English Africa, and Suleiman Mgula, an independent political analyst based in Durban, South Africa. Gentlemen, welcome to the show.
Thank you. It's a pleasure.
Thank you very much.
You're very much welcome. As I said, tonight we're looking at China-Africa relations. African leaders praise China's contributions to their nations' infrastructure, highlighting visible improvements that contribute to expanded economic activity, job creation for local workers, and tangible improvements to roads, rails, bridges, and other transportation networks, all things that benefit ordinary citizens, if indirectly. But some on the continent, however, are critical of Chinese engagement. Labor unions, civil society groups, and other segments of African societies criticize Chinese enterprises for poor labor conditions, unsustainable environmental practices, and job displacement. Of course, you can also add in good governance watchdogs who warn that China negotiates under unfair deals and take advantage of African governments' relative weaknesses and other that fosters corruption and wasteful decision making. It's a big topic to talk about, but Africa-China relationship. China has been on the continent for a very long time, and its influence is growing. Let me begin here with Vincent. Your general take on China-Africa relations. It's as good, bad, whatever it is.
Well, to begin with, I always look at the imagery. And one of the most important to me is when I see African leaders almost from the entire continent trooping to Beijing to be addressed by the Chinese prime minister. That tells you something. You know, one person, he calls these fellows and they stop their businesses and travel all the way to China to be given an address.
Or a lecture.
A lecture. They do not go to China to have an equal deliberation with the Chinese leader. Now, granted, China is a massive country. The population of China is about the same population of the entire continent of Africa. The other thing is, you just look at, for example, the Africa Union headquarters in Addis Ababa, constructed by the Chinese, I'm told managed by the Chinese. So a whole continent, the symbol of the continental unity is actually built by the Chinese and gifted to them by the Chinese. What does that tell you? First, it is a very unequal relationship. It's a very unequal relationship because China calls the shots. There's nothing wrong with having a relationship with China as a continent and as individual countries. The problem here is that China calls the shots. China determines the rules of the game. China decides what should be done and how it should be done. Now, for better or worse, African countries are so disadvantaged because at the end of the day, there is this focus on how much infrastructure there is being constructed on the ground. It may have benefits, of course. It has benefits in so many respects. Or how much, how much China has helped some of the poorest countries to achieve, perhaps even in the area of education or health. The only and the biggest issue is, what is the nature of this relationship? It's a one-sided relationship. Mm-hmm. It is a relationship where one country is in control of 54 countries and determines the rules of the game and determines the direction that this relationship takes.
Mm-hmm. Suleiman, your take?
China is now the newest player on the continent. Maybe we can take it historical and say that the scramble of Africa did not stop in 1884. The scramble has continued. those who never participated in 1884 Berlin, they have sought ways to find a foot also on the continent. And after the end of the Cold War, there was a vacuum which was created, and that vacuum, China took the opportunity to fill it in, to also take a share of Africa. So as Vincent has said, China has come in a big way on the African continent, not as an equal partner. It does not seek to help Africa grow. It does not seek to help Africa get a better deal than it used to get during colonial rule. It is also seeking to get a share for its own interest. It wants to devolve. So those who think that China is here is Father Christmas, they are daydreaming. China is here in a big way to get a share of the raw materials, to get a share of the market. Like the imperial, like the colonialists, like the scramble, they wanted, the big powers wanted markets, they wanted sources of the raw materials. Even China still wants market, still wants sources of raw material. So any country where China is in on this continent, it has come to seek for raw materials, cheap as it can get. It has come to get a market for its own goods. It wants to be the most industrialized, the most powerful economy on this global earth, but it wants to develop its economy depending on where it gets the sources and the markets of its products. And Africa has provided itself. That is where it is thriving. So, as Vincent has said, this is a paternalistic relationship. It is not an equal relationship where we are getting deals that will help us to develop Africa. Now, for almost a decade, it has been on the continent. Ask yourself, has it made a difference from the status quo which was there before it entered in big time from the colonial times? What difference has it made? We are still, the continent is still the supplier of raw material and is still consumed the imported material. It has not even helped countries to even add value to the commodities. They still take them raw as they were being exported to Germany, low as they were being exported to Belgium, low as they were being exported to Britain. So, yes, China has brought in money, but that money is there to help her own interest, her own economy. We, as a continent, we are secondary.
I see. You can't dismiss the fact that in many African countries, a bridge here, a road there. Some projects the Chinese have done. But what concerns most people is that the loans that China advances to Africa are not scrutinized, and some say they don't care whom they're dealing with, so long as the leaders, they agree, the government takes on the loan and the project goes on.
Yeah, this has been actually the biggest problem since the beginning, and that's why a great number of African citizens are actually champions of China's involvement in Africa, because very few people got to reckon with the reality that China does not do Africa a favor, but actually
no.
China is doing business with Africa,
yes.
Only that in this business, China determines what it wants and what it's getting. Now, what it gives you is like, you go to a bank today and the bank gives you a loan and determines the interest rate, and you have no say in it. Mm-hmm. Now, they're not doing you a favor. You may go and take that loan and build your house, and the house looks so beautiful, but you have to pay back. And now, if the interest rate is too high, it's not to your advantage. And if you're not able to pay back, they take back that house.
True.
So you really don't own that house until someday when you're able to pay. Mm-hmm. Most people on the continent of Africa don't realize that China has given loans to the continent, loans that are of a very high interest rate, that they have held some of those same infrastructure development, including ports, as collateral, that if those countries will not be able to pay those China will take control of some of those infrastructural projects to use them to recover to recover their monies. Now, the other part is that in certain countries they have signed deals, whether it is minerals in the Congo, whereby they're actually extracting minerals, raw materials, as Mahula has just pointed out, where they're supposed to pay back royalties to these countries. But when you consider how much they're taking and how much they're paying back, it is very little. So if you just focus on some of the progress that has been made, if you focus on some of the benefits of the infrastructure, maybe I can give you just an analogy back to colonialism. When the British and the French came to Africa, they built cities, didn't they? They built roads. They built the railway from Mombasa. Do you think they built the railway from Mombasa to Kasese in Uganda because they wanted us to have an amazing journey across the country? No, that was meant to take their goods from there to the port of Mombasa and transport it across.
Yes.
The cities they build for their own benefits. Now, we could say, oh, we did benefit from those developments because when we gained our independence, we had roads and railway lines and infrastructure, but it still remained that those were colonial rulers, and whatever they did it on their terms.
Yes.
So we can't just focus on some of the benefits that we're getting. We have to look at the totality of this relationship and the cost of it. At the cost of it, short-term and long-term is so unbalanced in that we may see some gains, but we are paying much, much more for those gains that, you know, than will benefit the continent in the long term. These developments are not favors. These developments are not for free. These developments are not to be given as credit to China, because China is charging the continent for whatever you see happening in terms of infrastructure development. It is charging you today, it will charge you tomorrow, and it will continue charging the continent for a long, long time.
I see. Well, if you're just joining us, you're listening to Reporters Roundtable. We are coming to you from the Voice of America in Washington. Tonight, we are discussing the China-Africa relations and what it means for the people there. My panelists are my colleague, Vincent Makori, Managing Editor at TV English to Africa, and Suleiman Mugula, an independent political analyst based in Durban, South Africa. And I'm your host, Douglas Impuga. Now, Suleiman, you had Vincent there mention that unequal power dynamic. But then there are those who blame African leaders and say China's assistance, so if you want to call it that, or development partnership, has encouraged a lot of corruption on the continent, because for them, they don't care whom they're dealing with, so long as you agree to your terms, they deal it through.
That is why the continent is restless, especially the young people and other patriotic leaders on the continent, that the Chinese don't care. They just want these deals to go through. How do you give countries loans when the countries are not democratic, when there is no consensus within the country? You'll find that most of the countries are highly indebted. There is a need for a discussion. Let's say there is a need for a debate in parliament to discuss whether that loan is necessary, whether that bridge is necessary, whether that soccer stadium is necessary. It is not a question of agreeing between the leader and the Chinese lenders. There should be a consensus, and that is the concern of the African people, very serious concern, that the sugar-coated loans from China are blindfolding the people of Africa. They are taking loans which are unnecessary. What kind of loans should the continent take? They should take loans which are going to improve the production capacity of the country, which are going to improve the economy of the country, so that even the country can be able to pay up the debts which it is taking. You find they just give loans anyhow, and at the end of the day, the country has not even created the capacity to grow the economy to be able to pay the very loans which they are giving. And of late, Zambia has had problems, Angola, they have had problems. I mean, many countries now are getting problems with these excessive loans which they have got from Chinese, and they are facing problems. They are failing to pay this, and the Chinese are jumping in. As the center said, they have to grab any collateral which you gave them. So, as the center said, the most important part here is that there has to be scrutiny of the loans which are being given. There cannot be scrutiny of the loans so long as the Chinese have decided to deal with the undemocratic governments, the governments which do not give the people to scrutinize the running of their economies, which don't give the people the chance to participate in the running of the government and in scrutinizing whatever deals their government should be dealing with. It should be engaged in. So in such a situation, the countries are being given a burden which has to be paid, whether we like it or not. So that is why the African people should be concerned. It's a very, very, very serious issue, Douglas.
I see. But Vincent, still to that point, what a great blessing for the African dictators and what? Because now they don't have to account for anything. They just run to China, want so many billions for this thing, and they get.
You know, you have to say that it's all about what a leadership thinks about their people and the future. Mm. If the leadership is thinking about the future of their country, you think about posterity, you'll be concerned about what's happening today. Mm. But now, when any leader is more focused on his short-term goal of becoming wealthy, or perhaps impressing the citizens with certain, you know, amounts of infrastructural developments, of course, you would see that the bad leadership will continue, but they can always point to the fact that they've built a road here or mm-hmm. a bridge there. Mm-hmm. And this tells you a lot about what the leadership is thinking about the citizens, because at the end of the day, what counts really is about what will be the state of affairs of any country 10, 20, 30, 40, even 50 years from now. So the deals we are seeing on the continent today, in the short term, may be so sweet to the current leaders. They may use them to make a case for how much they have helped the country to develop. They may make those as references to their good leadership. But the truth is, once they are out of the picture, some of them 5 years from now, some 10 years from now, the country's youth, the country's next generations are going to be dealing with the burden of debt. They're going to be dealing with inability to be in control of their own countries because of the mistakes that were made today. It is so sad, really, that none of the African countries has the capacity to really negotiate with China as things stand now, but rather just take it as it has been given and leave it as a burden for the future to deal with. Because that's what we are seeing. What's happening today on the continent is going to be a burden for future generations, whether they be governments or even just the ordinary citizens of those countries.
I see.
Douglas, let's put it this way, Douglas, just to intervene. Let's put it the other way around. We are saying for the last decade, China has been pouring money in all the various countries in Africa. And we are saying if the loans which they have given to the various African countries have not added value on the exports of those countries, if the loans which they have given have not added value to improve the balance of trade of those particular countries, if those loans have not added value to make agricultural production in the various countries better, then what is the use of those loans?
I see. Well, I think what you're saying, both of you, hasn't gone unnoticed on the continent, because as some human rights groups, good governance watchdogs have said, they view China that it's a country that perpetuates a neo-colonial relationship in which Africa exports raw materials to China in exchange for manufactured goods. And some countries' resentment actually at Chinese business practices has led to popular protests and violence against Chinese businessmen and migrants. Do you think recent that the people can see through this?
I mean, there are some who can see through. You know, we have different categories of people. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, a majority of the people don't see through this. They don't see because they're focusing on what they can see in front of them.
Mm-hmm.
So a person in Kenya may be more inclined to railway. Champion the railway and see how convenient it has become.
Mm.
Or they may see these new highways. And of course, it's good. Who doesn't want to be to get onto the train and 5 hours later from Nairobi is in Mombasa? Who doesn't want to get on a road? And it's so well tarmacked and so beautiful. But it's all a question of, like what I mentioned, somebody may see you constructing or you've constructed a beautiful-looking house.
Mm.
Now, if that house you built it on a loan that...
It's probably a predatory loan.
Exactly. it may not be a suite tomorrow when you have to pay it back. But the onlookers or some of your relatives who come and visit you and sit in there, they really might enjoy it. It's like, wow, our uncle, our son, our cousin, he's doing fantastic. The truth is that perhaps 2 or 5 years from now, 10 years from now, you might be losing that house.
Mm.
Or it may be a very painful experience for you trying to pay back. And that is where the problem is. A great number of the citizens don't know the details.
Mm.
In fact, let me tell you this. There are so many people in Africa who thought and who still think that China has given these things to Africa.
For free.
China has given us the money, has given us roads and railways for free.
Mm.
They just think so.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir, Suleiman.
Douglas, Douglas, little one. In this COVID crisis, one would have expected China, if he really had a heart for Africa, to capacitate Africa at least to help herself. But just note, China's companies were ready even to pour as many face masks, as many as possible to the poor countries in Africa. All the PEEs had to be manufactured in China and have to be brought. Even sanitizers, there is no single company in China which could say it is going to capacitate a particular country so that it produce itself sanitizer or a face mask. How much does it take to make a face mask? But when you go on the streets of Africa, you find so many face masks imported from China. That shows you the relationship which China has. China still wants Africa to be a market for her goods, not that it is there to help Africa grow our economies. I don't think that is the case.
All right, as we conclude, Vincent, I got both of you. So there are those who say that China has managed to muscle out to the Western world. You know, it has put a strong foothold on the continent. How do you see this China-Africa relationship ending or going?
Well, the truth is that right now the U.S. and the Europeans are really scrambling to get their foothold again back to Africa, because they took it for granted for a long time that they have it. Because of, especially for Europe, this is, there's a past history of colonialism and the U.S. being a superpower over the years.
Mm.
It also had made inroads to Africa. The truth is China came, caught them flat-footed, and today they're on a race to catch up. The truth is the relationship with that between China and Africa is going to grow stronger and stronger.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not easy to extricate Africa from China because of the the immediate benefits that they've seen and the long-term kind of
commitments
that they have made.
Mm-hmm.
So this is going to be a challenge, but it's going to exist for a long time. I don't see the relationship weakening. It's only getting stronger. And as long as it has that, it approaches what it is today, China is not going to relent. The rest of the world is going to be scrambling, and they will almost be one step or two steps behind China.
Suleiman, what do you think? Where do you see the relationship heading to?
It is a battle, Douglas and Vincent, because Europe cannot exist without the Gabonese forests, without the Guinea forests, without the forests of Congo, without the minerals in Congo. So China has come full speed, but Europe will struggle to get a foothold because Africa is needed. The cheap raw materials in Africa, the forests, the minerals, the oil, all are required by Europe. So it is going to be a tussle. The scramble is going to continue. God knows who will win, but even Europe will not let down.
Briefly, before we go, in the last few seconds left, is there a way, if Africa, some countries change leadership and they had people input, that things would change? Very briefly,
it's very hard. We saw some semblance of that in Tanzania. Magufuli actually tried to put his foot down and say, we need to negotiate, but it needs a bit more than that. It needs the continent to have a recognition that they have something to offer, that even China can be brought to a negotiating table. But the problem is that a great number of leaders think that a continent is a hopeless continent that just needs to be given, and therefore when the China comes, you just say, yes, sir, instead of saying, no, let's talk. These are our minerals. These are our resources. Let's negotiate here. It could take a number of Magufulis, perhaps, across the continent.
I see. Yeah. Yes or no, Suleiman? Just yes or no?
Yes. The Magufuli example was very, very good. If we could only get about 5 leaders like Magufuli, maybe the situation could change. But unfortunately, we don't have...
I think we lost Suleiman there. But unfortunately, even that, we're out of time. That wraps up this edition.
Thank you very much.
Reporters Roundtable. Thanks to my colleague, Vincent Macquarie, a managing editor at TV English to Africa, and Suleiman Mugula, an independent political analyst based in Durban, South Africa. Gentlemen, thanks a lot for being on the show.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure.
A pleasure.
You're very much welcome. We'll be back again next week with another edition of Reporters Roundtable. And until then, I wish you all the best. And I'm Douglas Impuga in Washington.
Hello, this is James Barton, Managing Editor and host of VOA's Daybreak Africa show. Join us Monday through Friday at 03, 04, 05, and 0600 hours UTC as we bring you the latest Africa news, features, and sports. You can also be a part of Daybreak Africa through our mail segment by sending your comments to daybreakafrica@voanews.com. Or you can call us on 001-202-205-9942. And when you hear the Voice of America identification, press the number 25 to leave us your message. That's Daybreak Africa at 03, 04, 05, and 0600 hours UTC, right here on VOA Africa.
This is a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
The World Health Organization and Africa Center for Disease Control say we can all help fight the corona pandemic by wearing face masks that cover our mouths and nose when we are in crowded places or areas. For more information, check with reliable sources such as the WHO and Africa CDC. And remember to listen to VOA for the latest news on COVID-19.
That was a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
Hi, this is Larry London. are invited to join me every day for Border Crossings. This is unprecedented times that we're all faced with. Everybody's at home. Everybody's sitting and wondering what the future will hold once this COVID-19 virus is under control on a worldwide level. Well, in the meantime, I'm here to help you forget about the problems going on outside your door. Tune in for an hour of music every day by request on Border Crossings.